Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
This practice constantly encourages deepening our relationship with life, the intelligence that animates, the wisdom, love, and compassion of true nature, the mentor. It is through love that boundaries between self and other, mine and not mine, personal and universal dissolve, and compassion emerges as the currency of exchange in an interaction with another. At present, the enemy says mine of everything on the pedantic, legalistic ground that he made it. Our Father hopes in the end to say mine of all things on the more realistic and dynamic ground of conquest. So this week, our practice is to counter our Father's hope of conquest. Set alarms throughout the day. When the timer goes off, interrupt any conversation with conditioned mind that obscures the perception that everything is pulsating with the energy that made the worlds, and practice tenderness. Connect with the love that arises in response to being present to presence. Then bow to life. Offer appreciation. Offer gentleness. Offer affection. Offer wonder. Offer gratitude. Let the tenderness transform the thief in you into Ryokan, the mystic who can give away the moon. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Susan in Iowa. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Susan, we can hear you. Sherry? Have I muted you?
Uh-oh.
Hang on.
I got lost. I think
okay.
I got lost.
No. I think we're found, Sue.
I got lost. Am I still here?
No.
Susan, you are. Sherry, can you hear Susan?
Hello.
And I heard Susan a second ago.
Yes.
There we are. Whoo! Nothing to it, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Yes,
hey,
thank you.
What are you
Hello.
Seeing?
Well, cue practice, which is an effort, but here I am. And interestingly, I guess this week it's been a little more difficult to feel tenderness and compassion. There was sort of a crabbiness. And This morning during virtual meditation, it kind of went away. It just like a miracle. It just kind of went away this morning.
Well, yes, it is a miracle. And it's good to realize that it is a miracle that is always available to us. Right? Because the miracle happened because you meditated. You got on that call with other folks and you said the daily recollection and you meditated and your attention was on presence and whoop, no room for crabbiness.
Yes. And yesterday I was very aware of the feelings and trying to stay with it and witness it and not be ashamed and embarrassed of feeling that way, and it was kind of a tempestuous day. And then this morning,
again, Susan,
there.
Yeah. So with that, you know, I don't know what you were doing with the witnessing, but one of the best ways to witness is with the two-handed recording, or especially in a situation like that with the interview technique. Right, because if I try to witness the shenanigans of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, I'm trained to get pulled in. I mean, I've got a lifetime of being pulled into that stuff. And so if I use one of those techniques that enable me to be focused on staying disidentified from it, I really up my chances of getting to the place I want to be.
That is so interesting, Sherry, because that just reminded me. I was wanting to, I thought, two-handed recording or interview. I don't know which. And then I sounds like, I think, two-handed recording. And then I thought, and then I did some writing. I have a group writing thing. And I actually wrote down all the bits that I could interview, and then I promptly put my journal away and forgot it until just now.
You know, what we're up against is big. It really is. We have to have a great deal of compassion for the human being who wants to go up against this very rigged system.
That's a good reminder. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to remind you of is not falling for, you should feel bad or ashamed or guilty or embarrassed or whatever it is over what that system is doing. It's got nothing to do with you. It's doing it close to you. and we do get pulled into believing it has something to do with us. But just that reminder that, no, it doesn't. It can do whatever it wants. I don't need to feel bad about it.
Yeah, that is a very good reminder.
Right.
I guess I needed it this week, so I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, good. You go happy now, okay?
I will. You too, Gusha.
All right. Thanks, Susan. Gusha.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Susan. And the next, you are live on the
Ashwini? Ashwini? Ashwini?
Yes?
You are really going in and out for me. I just wanted to, I don't know if you're going to be for anybody else, but you are for me.
Okay, well, hopefully this works better.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi, this is Jeannie in Berkeley.
Hey, Jeannie.
There's so much. For the last few weeks, because the assignments have kind of combined about really tuning in to being here, and for me, I've developed this practice that's, I just, when my alarm goes off, I say the word here, and I really connect with my body and my feelings and my feet against the ground and my feeling in my belly, and then open, and that's when I focus on my heart and see if I'm protected or if I'm open to what's happening. Let's see, I have an acronym. Here, open, awake, and awake is if all my senses are going and I'm paying attention. And ready is the last one. And then and when I do ready, it's like my awareness goes 360 and I'm ready for whatever is happening. But this simple thing is so helps me just to tune in with the pulsing aliveness inside of me and the world, exactly like what's happening. And what is so powerful is that it's really been able to connect me with my kinship with nature, and that's really what's been happening. Like I'm sitting here looking at the trees, and what I'm noticing is that when I am so in touch with all that pulsing aliveness in my body, and I'm sharing it and admiring the trees, then it's almost like it's radiated back. It's not almost like. I can actually feel it, as crazy as that may sound. And
it doesn't sound crazy at all.
Yes.
Because I think what you're articulating is a practice that allows you, it's a couple of steps, right? Are you here? Are you awake? Are you ready? Mm-hmm. And I think I forgot the one.
Open.
Open. Yes, open, right? That place of whatever the steps we take to redirect the attention to that pulsating energy. And that when we're in touch with that pulsating energy, we do have the experience that it's not my energy or the tree's energy, but yeah. It is the energy.
Exactly. No longer, it's no pronoun. It's so true. And it's just like an interconnected kinship. And it's like, I want to come, the sense of my aperture going from just like driving in my car, I'm getting to where I'm going, and then it drops in. No, open up, and I take in nature. I take in everything around, and my whole, I drop down, and it's just a feeling of interconnectedness. It's just truly glorious and well-being and all that, grasping.
Yes.
It's
yes.
really marvelous. I've been working in climate change for so long, and I think this is it. This is it when it comes to being out of relationship with each other and my pronoun, my trees that I can cut down, and the fact that if it's not mine, so like you so beautifully said, you don't pay attention to the impact that we're having with what we're wanting and what the impact is on the rest of the planet. So this is such a deep, important practice, powerful, really. It's really fantastic.
Well, thank you, Jeannie, because I think you just said it, right? That when we drop out of what separates, which is conditioned mind, when we remember to drop out of it and drop out of it truly, then we experience the oneness, that sense of kinship, and there is no impulse in us to destroy something or not take care of something that is all pervasive, right? That we identify so deeply with.
Exactly. And there's no hole to fill up with consumption, and buying. It's so interesting that need to want to buy anything just goes away.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it fulfills a fun. It fills the hole within, right? Because that's all we're attempting to fill with mind, more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, basking in that. Thank you.
Thank you. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. I really want to do this assignment. Is a really busy time. Like, there's a to-do list like never before. And then also this, it seems like there's a lot of opportunities for tenderness and a lot of tenderness offerings coming my way that are kind of acting as a timer sometimes, like waking me up and some flowers or a card or something. And it's just so, it's like often very short-lived. And it, but it also seems like, I don't know, my mind is going, even during this call, I'm just like jolted out of my to-do list. And when the tenderness comes, it's so precious to me, and it feels like the best thing ever, and then gets so quickly covered up.
Yeah. And Emily, do you have a sense that this is always the case? It's just that you're so aware of it right now.
Absolutely. It's like everything is magnified on both sides. It's like the tenderness and the to-do list.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Which is, it's good to see. It's also, it's kind of horrifying to see. And it's really difficult, painful, whatever, to be caught in it.
Yeah. It's my life,
And it's right now it's magnified, right? The thing is, it's all of our lives all the time, which is why, of course, we must do awareness practice, right? If we are ever to have a hope of shifting that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's why I signed up for the retreat in the midst of all this, because there's the awareness, like, well, this is the process that's still going on. Even though there's this big thing I'm dealing with.
Yes. And so the retreat you're talking about is not this one, but the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat that's coming up in just a few days, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And such wisdom. And I'm so happy that you listened to it and made the choice that you made, because you're exactly right. All of it's going to happen, or all that's meant to happen, is that everything calms down and goes back to, in quotes, normal. That's all. Mm-hmm. This time will pass, this time of huge, you know, sometimes, I don't know if this is true for you, but kind of feeling like an open wound. And that'll pass. It'll get covered over, and you're meant to just go back to the usual range of torture. Right? With little moments of well-being. You're out in nature, you're listening to music, whatever it is, little moments of well-being in an ocean of humdrum torture.
Yeah.
Yeah? And so to see it and to make that choice for yourself at this really critical juncture, when you have probably as much potential to see through this, to see it clearly for what it is, as you're ever going to have in your life, and you're taking advantage of it.
Yeah. Right. I have more potential to see through it because it's magnified.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's no, as you know, what we're meant to do with normal life is go to a place that, well, it's not that bad. You know, yeah, I suffer, but, you know, I've got all this stuff, and I really should be grateful, and, you know, other people have it so much worse, and, you know, if I were different, all of that stuff. And to see it just in this stark relief of, no, there's egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate trying to torture in every moment, and then there's the sweetness of being present to life as life is.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a lot of really sweet reminders, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And thank God you're open to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And just one other thing, Emily, that the importance of getting that what you're experiencing now is how it is. You're not doing anything wrong. This isn't a mistake. This is how it is. This is what life with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate gives us, conditioned critters.
Oh.
And we're getting a chance to see it and see through it.
Okay, like there's... Yeah, even though it's getting my attention and taking me away from that tenderness, that's what happens when I'm
that's
not
what happens.
Doing anything wrong. Or
Exactly. In fact, I would say you're doing everything right, because you're doing everything you can to see it for what it is. And that's the best we can do. Because the seeing it, as the previous caller was indicating, the seeing it is where the transformation is. Recognize, realize, getting what's actually going on. That's where the transformation happens.
Yeah, yeah, and getting out of that self-hate that comes after seeing it.
Exactly.
That's just a kind of a reflex.
That's our work.
Oh, he did that.
That's right.
Okay.
No, you did that, actually. Nope, I didn't. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, stay
on
it. Thank you, Emily.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Emily.
And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Michaela.
Hey, Michaela.
Hi. I'm doing Q practice because I have had it, like all of us, with the conditioned conversation about what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I just want to report that it works so beautifully. I have this joke, which I think is in our reading in Screwtape. Let them write a book about it. I could, on open air, I could tell a whole book about what's going on. And there's such a clarity in my heart and my whole body that there is only one, not sure about the word, refuge for me, and that is to tune in. I was, everything that everyone said was wonderful, helpful, inspiring, spot on, and not only in this call, always.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, you know, Michaela, when you say that, it's tempting, right, to tell that story of me, to be completely fascinated by that. And it is a story of pain and suffering and torture. It's everything that that system is doing to me that keeps the idea of me alive. And yet, as Sherry said so profoundly, that conversation goes nowhere. So we get it, right? It's like I'm not listening to that, and I'm not going to narrate it. I'm not going to be its voice and perpetuate the story and also perpetuate the me that it maintains. So the only answer is to tune in, is to tune in to that, to that pulsating energy of the worlds, to its expression in this practice of awareness, of reporting, of seeing that system, for not believing it, for seeing it for what it is, and being that awareness that is aware of not just that, but all of life also, expressing in this process of searching.
Yes, and as I listened to you, I saw something else, and to honor this deep-seated desire of which you speak so often, that this is what I want. I don't even know what it is. I mean, if I didn't have this connection to this practice, I wouldn't know what it is. But the deep desire is there to honor it and to say, well, I'm not going to think about this or take precautions or make an arrangement. I'm just going to connect.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That we can point to it, right? That which we're seeking is causing us to seek. We can't describe it. We can't do anything about it other than be it. And so when that impulse is, we just follow the impulse, that impulse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. And truly what everyone says, it's the tuning in. It's the answer to all the questions that I didn't know I had. It's just so wonderful.
Oh, my gosh,
so,
yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The answer to all the questions I did not know I had. Mm. Thank you for that, yeah. Michaela.
Gosho.
Gosho. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi. This is Art from Maryland.
Hey, Art.
Hey, Art. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I've been practicing very lightly with the weekly assignment. I've noticed this ownership, the my and that sort of thing, relative to I guess roles and responsibilities to people in my family.
Uh-huh. So what's mine to be responsible for? What's mine to take on? What's mine to do? What's my that sort of thing?
Yeah. And there seems to be a there seems to be like two different types. There's a type where my responsibilities to sort of to pay attention to self-hate and my responsibility toward everything else.
Wow, Art, that is, I had never seen it like that. That's it, isn't it? That we are conditioned, that we are, part of our obligation is to pay attention to the self-hate, to all of the egocentric karmic conditioning messages, so that we are the person that we should be. Is that what you're pointing at?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I suppose that what's helpful is that if I were to make a to-do list, you know, just of all the things that I'm responsible for doing, it would be too much to it'd be too much to do, like in a million lifetimes, you know.
Yeah, and yet the definition of you as the good, right person, the person you should be, means that you are going to take responsibility for and attend to and accomplish all of that, right? That's who you have to be in order to be okay. That's truly fiendish, isn't it?
It totally. And so what drops in is that I don't really have any choice but to actually disown everything.
Oh, yeah. To have the courage to be the wrong person. Yeah, I'm not going to focus on all of that. I'm going to focus on being here, present, kind, compassionate, loving, attentive.
Right.
Yeah. And if that makes me the wrong person, so be it.
Right. Yeah. And it seems as though all of those things are actually all I have to do is reflect life. You know, my experience of life, which is all those things, is compassion and love and kindness and things like that, because that's all I'm getting.
Yes. And we're so trained to leave that in order to get a bunch of stuff done.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Well, that's powerful.
It's very, anyway, it feels good. Yeah.
Yes. It feels good to see it and to be so clear about it, right? So that when all of that pressure to do stuff comes in, we can recognize it for what it is, rather than that programmed belief, but that's the right stuff. That's what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's what I'm supposed to be excited and enthusiastic about and really, really good at. No, it's not. No,
yeah.
I'm striving to be really, really good at love and compassion.
Right. And so it's pretty simple that when if I just get here and reflect all the things that life gets everything done.
It does, doesn't it? Life is really good at getting everything done that actually needs to be done.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, we can know that was just ego's better idea, and we are not supportive of better ideas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Art.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Gosho.
Thanks, Art.
Yeah, sure. Go happy.
And that brings us to the end of an amazing show, Sherry.
Pardon me?
I said, and that brings us to the end of an amazing show.
Yeah. I love this assignment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I love this. I love this retreat. And I love this Sangha, and I love this practice. And what can we say? All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.